So you actually may have had your faith in the court system renewed rather than lessened.
Yeah, I have a lot of faith in the court system, just not in the laws which the police of this town enforce, which I find to be extremely biased towards the homeless.
Fair enough. Well, thank you, Moose. Anything else? It's about 6 o'clock, September 18, 1995, and we are at the corner of Cathcart and Pacific. There are two, not just one, but two tables are setting up. First, the free Momia table, and then down the way, Food Not Bombs and a rare Monday meal, the second expansion of its food program. Since Wednesday. They had a meal on Thursday, now they have a meal on Monday on the mall. This could drive the merchants to psychiatrists, who knows. But right now I'm standing at the Mumia table, and I'm about to interview anybody who wants to be interviewed. Who wants to volunteer here? Gina wants to be to a volunteer. Gina, let them put out the literature, and you can be interviewed for FRSC, Free Radio Santa Cruz. Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides, I do a local show here. So, what's happening? What's going on? What's cooking?
Judge Sabo, as we all expected, just denied Mumia a retrial.
Just meaning like 3 days ago? Or?
Yeah, just this last weekend. And the cops are all getting together and having a huge rally in Philadelphia.
They're having a big bonfire.
Yeah, asking for Mumia to be brought to death. And as I understand it, Wilson, of course, is strongly supporting it and publicly, and so is Clinton, which is not a surprise, but it's...
Now, how do we know, in what respect has Clinton showed his support for this?
What I've been told is that he was just voicing his support for the police, and I'm not sure if this is rumor or not, but that he would be actually going to the rally and supporting the police, which...
So this is naked rumor we're talking about here.
The fact that Clinton supports it is not a naked rumor, but it's a naked rumor that he...
In what form has his support taken?
As far as just open... public comment.
What comments has he made?
I don't have a quote.
Ah, okay. So when you do, I'd like to know that quote. So any specifics on new court dates or any timeline here?
I think they have, 30 days to ask for an appeal, to work on an appeal. Yeah, and they have a state Supreme Court and Supreme Court left to go through. And Governor Ridge has stated that he would immediately sign a death warrant as soon as the appeals are exhausted. So.
Eager to get down to business, eh?
Definitely. And so it's a really crucial time.
Okay. Well, do you have a local number you want people to call if they're interested in involving themselves on this issue?
Yeah, can you pause?
Pausing briefly.
457-4998. And there's meetings on Monday nights at 7:30 at the Drop-In Center, which is on
14 Front Street.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And let us know more if you had when the time comes.
Okay.
You
have a potential customer of Food Not Bombs here, a local man, who's commenting on my t-shirt. Do you prefer this to the local bagels? What do you think?
Yo, most definitely.
He's commenting on my I Am Beyond Rehabilitation t-shirt, a rather tattered piece from 1989. It's a quote from Sandy Loringer, which you may know, is a woman who served food and was arrested and spent 3 weeks in jail for serving food in Santa Cruz. Was that back in Peter Corota's day? No, that was actually after Corota's day. That was in 1989. Corota's day, although he still retains his wear a tie-dye, don't get in policy at the...
That's not him.
No, but apparently he supports it.
I don't know about that.
My experience has been in conversations with him that he does, but that was some years ago. Maybe he's changed since then.
I don't know. Do you know if he finally got ordained as a priest?
That I don't know. I know that people who are in functional control of the St. Francis Catholic Soup Kitchen are still discriminating against people who are trying to eat, who wear, for example, women with tank tops and men with tie-dyes.
Do you remember St. Francis decided to go off and meditate on a mountain for a while? When he came back, they turned his order of supposed mendicants into an institution. Mm-hmm. They'd taken the little chapel that he and a few others had rebuilt with their own hands for meditation and prayer and turned it into a library. These things happen.
Indeed. What is your moniker, sir? Oh, Tony. So this is Tony. All right then, Tony. Thank you for your comments, and we may put you on the radio.
Oh, please.
Isn't that exciting? Santa Cruz, we're in line here at the Food Not Bombs meal. My question is, why aren't you folks eating at the free meal? Why the Food Not Bombs meal?
Because it is delicious.
I see. So you think the food here is better than the free meal?
Absolutely.
Really? And what do you think about this fly, the woman who I just mutilated for life?
No, this is Fly.
What's your name?
Willow Tree.
Willow Tree?
My name's Fly.
Catch you on the fly, Willow Tree.
I think both of them are good. It's anybody rather I want to get off my ass and walk or not.
So you're just a lazy guy.
Yes, I am.
I think it's better over
here. I'm not that lazy.
I like the people better.
You like the people? Yeah,
for real though, there's a lot of friendly people that come here. Right, over there, there's a lot of wing nuts.
I see. Okay, well, I'm just trying to get a general sampling. I'm going to continue my research.
Okay,
thank you.
I'm going to continue my research.
Are you going to be eating here in line? No? Now you, sir, why are you eating here rather than, let's say, the free meal?
Because I'm hungry and I'm here right now.
I see. So you're going to be here now, so to speak.
Yep.
All right, thank you. Now what about you? You're eating here and you're not eating at the free meal. Why is this? Is there a choice involved? You just happen to be here? What's the story?
There's no story, man.
No story. Okay. Food Not Bombs volunteer. Mr. Earth, this makes the third meal, actually the second meal, outside the normal Food Not Bombs schedule from the past that we see appearing on the mall. Could this become a trend?
Well, like I said before, our intent is to serve every day, and right now we're serving 7 days a week. Hopefully at some point we'll be serving 7 nights a week here, but from Saturday and Sunday we've been serving Reverend Josephine.
Uh-huh. Have you,
possibility we may serve two meals tomorrow, one in the morning behind Loud Nelson, and one at night here.
Do you have volunteers for that meal tomorrow, or both meals, or?
Not really. I thought we'd just winging it at this point.
Alright. Any flack from anybody, or any praise from anybody, or what's the...
Yeah, we've had praise from especially some of the long-time Food Not Bomb people that have been around, that we're doing this. It's something they've been wanting to do for a long time.
The meal isn't connected with any change of policy of food at the free meal or Corona Sick Care.
No, it's working in conjunction with everybody else just to feed the hungry.
The shelter program begins in full force in November or October, whenever they start. Presumably they'll also be serving meals at the churches, right?
I believe so. I mean, that's fine, you know, there's plenty of hungry to go around. Plenty of hungry people around, so I hope we do get to the point where we have more servers than hungry people. That's the goal, so.
Do you anticipate any conflict with the downtown merchants? Have you, or is that, should we say, something unlikely?
So, because it's been very positive energy so far, and the thing is, people sometimes get irritable when they get hungry, their blood sugar gets low and everything.
So only you're stopping irritability
right
on the mall.
That's what we're doing. We're trying to do is make healthy, happy people.
Well, and if people want to volunteer, what should they do?
Just call the Food Not Bombs message line, 425-3345, and say that they're willing to volunteer.
What kind of skills are you looking for?
People that are interested in helping prepare food, chopping vegetables, especially cleanup type work too. I've been doing it all myself about the last week, washing buckets that have sort of piled up and got behind on.
We need some cleaners today, for instance.
Yeah, we could use some. Definitely.
Not that I'm volunteering, mind you, but I could make an announcement.
So, And that was an interview with various people. The last man you heard speaking was John Earth, a Food Not Bombs volunteer, who, along with a new volunteer called Sean and other volunteers, kind of held down the fort for Food Not Bombs when Food Not Bombs was out of town, along with Peppercorn Penny and Stubborn Heart Star. I don't know if actually Stubborn Heart Star was involved. A bunch of people who kind of held out while Food Not Bombs volunteers were up at Headwaters. There has, in fact, been a sort of a, well, what we're going to say, kind of a second organization de facto has developed. There's Food Not Bombs, which serves its usual times, and then there's a group which some call Food Not Politics, others call Sean Not Bombs, mainly because of the prominent position of Sean, who is a new volunteer who has been actually working overtime at quadruple speed, stepping on a number of toes in some cases, but getting food out almost every night for the last week or so. But the Food Not Bombs volunteers have found some problems with, they've kind of encouraged him to do his own operation, and they're working in a parallel fashion at the present time. Food Not Bombs serves tomorrow, I believe, at 11 o'clock at Loudoun Park, and then Wednesday at 4 o'clock, or 4 or 5, perhaps it's 5 now, at Cathcart and Pacific, and then on Saturdays and Sundays at River and Josephine at 1 o'clock. And who knows when Politics Not Bombs or Food Not Politics or Sean Not Bombs or the second group serves. They've been serving every day on the mall. But to all these groups, I want to encourage people to be aware of merchant concerns nearby, not necessarily moved or dictated by what the merchants think, but nonetheless, for example, local vendors who sell coffee are grousing that Food Not Bombs eaters, people who use the Food Not Bombs meals, are taking all the sugar, taking all the cream, taking all the stirs, and I'm encouraging people to show restaurant courtesy to the capitalist restaurants in the vicinity, because after all, they're usually small capitalist restaurants, and somebody's paying for all that stuff, and try and either bring your stuff with you or get it from the Food Not Bombs table, or if at a last resort, ask for it is my advice. At a restaurant, don't assume you have a license because you got a bowl of soup to clean out the restaurant of all its condiments. That makes us Food Not Bombs, and I would assume Sean Not Bombs too, persona non grata downtown whenever that happens. So yeah, there's a lot of controversy inside Food Not Bombs these days, and I think we may want to do an interview with a Food Not Bombs member, an active Food Not Bombs member, on that issue. I'm a Food Not Bombs member, but I cook like once every 2 years or something, so I'm not as active as some. Certainly not as active as Sean, who's a, I don't know if he's a Food Not Bombs member anymore. I think he's now got his own operation, although I'm not entirely sure what the division of the labor is. Perhaps someone could call in and tell us. We do have a call-in number. It's 427-3772. And for anyone who wants to help Food Not Bombs, the organization which does serve poor people and makes poverty visible, and isn't afraid to confront authority peacefully with food and to expose their priorities and their lies, give a call to 425-3345 to help cook, help serve, help feed the people, as a has been said frequently in the last 2 weeks. With me here is an old friend and guest from the organization Madhouse Exit, John Stewart. John has got his own show and speaks on issues of abuses by psychiatric institutions and ideologies and authorities. And he's been keeping us advised of an ongoing case of a man who essentially is now a brain-dead vegetable, I believe, in a San Jose hospital.
Valley Medical.
Okay, well, so what's the update, John?
This is the Saturday Mercury News. Headline is Jails Director in Silence on Leitner. Joseph Leitner is the man's name. He's in a comatose state in on life support in Valley Medical Center after a an assault by sheriff's deputies and psychiatric nurses in Santa Clara County Jail. Reading the first paragraph here, ending a long silence on inmate Joseph Leitner's high-profile case, Santa Clara County Jail's director Daniel Vasquez said Friday that the guards he intends to fire used excessive force against the mentally ill man who is now comatose. Is before a grand jury. Vasquez said it is clear from the videotapes of the incident that guards went too far when they put a blanket over Leitner's head and carried him by force to the jail psychiatric ward. Quote, he was struggling because of excessive pain and the covering over his head, unquote, Vasquez said. Quote, it wasn't that he was trying to get away, but because he was hurt, we were hurting him, unquote. So the jail's director intends to fire five deputy sheriffs and two psychiatric technicians called psychiatric nurses over there. They could be male or female. And meanwhile, their victim is on life support, brain dead, in Valley Medical Center in intensive care. If you've been listening to Robert, then you know I don't want to take up 20 minutes running down the whole case here. This is just an update. So if you haven't been keeping up with it, you can call John Stewart at 427-2171, and I'll give you a larger update, or I'll update it more on my show Wednesdays 2 to 3. But this is just for now. They intend to fire five deputy sheriffs and two psychiatric technicians, all of whom have their lawyers and all of whom will fight the case. And in fact, the Sheriff's Officers Association, I don't know the name of it, has threatened to go on strike if they carry out these, if the director of the jails and carries out these intentions. Parenthetically, the jail's director states unequivocally that he never had authorized the use of blankets over people's head, regardless of the circumstances, in the jails. Although previous articles has tell you that the director's office had withdrawn that as a policy. There seems to be certain internal contradictions in the sheriff's department here.
They're scrambling for cover here, John, it sounds like.
No doubt. That's it, Robert.
That's the madhouse exit update here on Free Radio Santa Cruz. Unusually brief today, John, I must say. John, again, his show is between 2 and 3 on Wednesday if you want to tune in, or if you have any calls to John. John's been, to me, he's a particularly articulate source of information on not only these public issues, but also on the more difficult issues of alternatives to psychiatry, which we've talked about in the past. It's all very well to attack, and we should attack, but what are we going to do to build up in the place so that we can, you know.
Ready?
Here's John. John, what do you have to say about that, John?
Well, what we can do, what we need to do is eliminate the forced psychiatric treatment by putting into law the right to refuse psychiatric treatment, which is to say the right to refuse to be helped by anyone. Also to eliminate the insanity defense and to get rid of capital punishment. In order to do that, we need hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, to a mass movement of incredible size. In order to have a movement of such an enormous size, it's each one reach one, each one teach one, each one warn one. So it's like politicize people to the need for the right to refuse psychiatric treatment. After the politicize them to the psychiatric inmates liberation movement positions on psychiatry and the mental health system industry, and organize people to force the system to end forced psychiatric treatment. So that's it in brief.
But of course, that's not an answer to my question. My question was, what do we do in terms of alternatives? That's the problem. I mean, once you, I agree with you. We destroy the system, and those are good suggestions for it. But what about alternatives now that we can use among ourselves? How can we get those set up?
That's the same one I did before.
It is. But I mean, right. If you have any new thoughts, I want to hear them.
It's the same one. Yeah. It's network amongst yourselves, right? To make it okay to talk about anything and everything, and not turn each other in to the mental health system or to psychiatrists or to anyone else because you're having you have a particular or your friend. You take the stand that with you it's okay for your friends and your neighbors and your acquaintances to talk about anything, including suicide or any kind of version of reality, including UFOs or extraterrestrial beings.
Are you successful, John, in establishing such a network for yourself?
Have I established? I'm working on it. That's the point of me being on the radio, to work on that. Mm-hmm. With myself and my friends, it's okay. We can talk about anything, including suicide. Several years ago, a friend of mine called me, they were talking about suicide. And the reason my friend could call me and talk about that was that my friend knew that I would not call the 911 on them. Subsequently, my friend changed their mind. They changed their mind and didn't do it. It would have been a terrible tragedy for me. Had they gone ahead and done it, but it would have been a worse tragedy for both of us if I had turned them in. Yes, I, in my own personal life with my friends, I do have a network, and I believe I can include Robert Norris in that network.
Wait a minute, hold everything.
I don't think Robert would call the shrinks on me for any reason, regardless. He might flee. if I threw a tantrum on him, he might flee, but I don't think he would call the shrinks or the cops to have me committed. Well, and that's the point.
Too committed as it is, as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, that, I mean, to me, that is really, I mean, you keep emphasizing that point of, I'm sure you should. To me, that's second nature, and I think that we can, many of us agree with
it
that.
Is.
The question is, what do we do to enhance, strengthen, and deepen these networks and deal with the kinds of day-to-day problems that come up when you're feeling like you want to talk to someone, but you're scared to do it, you know, or you think you're going to be crazy, or alternately, when someone calls you up who you just, you know, I'm going to commit suicide, and I know a guy like this downtown, he's always telling me he's going to commit suicide. I mean, I hear it all the time, and my response is not serious at all, that because I keep, you know, I've heard it so much,
oh.
You know, I just say, well, let me take pictures, you know. I mean, I reached that point where, I mean, if this were a guy who said this rarely and in a different circumstance, I, of course, would speak very much differently about it. But, yeah, so.
Well, I can appreciate that, but that you might lose patience and turn to ironic humor in a situation like that. But I would urge you to take him seriously. And if it's the case that you hope the person doesn't, that you would feel that there would be a loss in your life if he were or he or she were to kill themselves, then I would urge you just to say that. You'd feel, I'd really miss you. I'm sorry if you feel like that. I hope you manage to work it out some way or other. It's important for us to say we don't have a solution.
Right.
You know, tell the person you don't have a solution to that particular problem, but you hope that they don't take that way out, as
right.
it were.
I think that's really key, that you're suggesting that the honesty of, A, I don't have a solution, but B, you know, I do feel this way about
right.
it. This is how I do feel about
right.
it. And C, you know, I hope you work it out. And, of course, the next question is how much support are you going to provide based on what that person wants, and that is another question entirely, too.
Well, with regard to that, we all have our limits, and we have to... You know, it's always important to say when you've reached your limits. In fact, you should say before you reach your limits so that you don't go to your limits and then you have to go through a long period of getting yourself back together. Something as intensely emotional as someone contemplating killing themselves, something intensely emotional become involved with that is really emotionally draining. And nevertheless, it's important for us, for me, for example, to say, I'm very near my limit, you know. This situation is exhausting me, and if we go much further, I won't be able to continue talking to you with the kind of sympathetic, empathetic concern that needs to be here. I'm beginning to lose it because of my own limitations. It's important to talk that way as well, you understand? We have our limits, and if there are short limits, it has to be. If you have longer, greater limits, then that's good, but it's important not to go beyond your limits and lose sympathy with the person and become dispassionate and coarse or so forth with the person, with someone in that situation. The important thing besides working with other people is there's a lot of important self-work that each of us, I think, has to do as regards what are we willing to allow, what kind of rights do we allow other people to have? Do we allow other people to have versions of reality that we don't agree with? Do we allow other people to have to tell us about out of normal experiences that we can't really comprehend, and so forth? Or do we just shut them down as soon as they say they have a weird version of reality? Here's a phone call.
Phone call coming in. Who? Free Radio Santa Cruz is on this end. Who's on the other?
Oh, Dan here.
Oh dear, it's.
I had to get back to you because I can't take this. This abuse. I'm going to resign.
You're going to resign.
I'm going to resign. But before I resign, I want to know why are you abusing me like this? I really think I should stay.
I see. Well. It's interesting you should call in Art, as you call yourself. Actually, I must inform my listeners that I'm skeptical as to whether we are really talking to the real Art Dan.
I am, and I maybe I'm channeling, but I am. And I'll give you all the information that Art would, or I would. Because we are one together right now.
Okay, well...
Over you.
Well, I do appreciate your levity, caller.
I am levitating, actually, at this time while
I'm
speaking.
Perhaps you'll float off to sea. Is there anything you wish to say before I wish you bon voyage?
The thing is that I wish you would recall me because I really can't take...
Unfortunately, I recall you all too well.
I can't take the guilt or the guilt anymore.
Well, perhaps what you should do is form a support network and talk to some friends about it.
What was that? That was a quick... What are you, speaking in different tongues?
I am, and I'll show you my tongue later.
This is Free Radio Santa Cruz. That was an anonymous individual who claims to be Art Danner, but frankly, knowing Art Danner's voice, I have to say that's not Art Danner. That's one of our local comedians who sometimes has a good sense of timing, and others has no sense of timing. But I'm not going to criticize this man. He's actually can be seen performing frequently at the San Francisco Arts League, I believe it is, on Monday nights. Put in a pitch for him. I've never seen his act. I've just heard it every time I come on the air. Well, let's move right along. Actually, John has handed me some mail for Free Radio Santa Cruz. Let's take a look here and see if this is the Unabomber. Take care. No, this is not the Unabomber. This is a... sort of a pointless, it's a statement from Urgent Action about military bases in Panama. This is not really too much in keeping with the theme of our show, which has to do with poverty rights in Santa Cruz. So, I will instead turn to my limitless supply of clippings, which I carry around with me in these large sacks, and bring a few to the attention of the audience. Also might mention that I believe Robert Fleury and Wonton Dave Jacobs have court dates coming up on Thursday. I'm not positive of the exact date, unfortunately, because my computer is down and my usually hasty but pertinent preparation has been replaced by complete winging it. So this is Mr. Wing here, and I'm going nuts from the winging. So I can't tell you, but I think on Thursday, Red Top Robert Fleury, who's a homeless activist, another one, Wonton Dave Jacobs, both men who are really key freedom fighters in the last few years for the rights of the poor outside,
And to do such a simple thing as to sit down on the sidewalk or to sit in it to do a demonstration at night that's peaceful and maintain a kind of a little cardboard box with a display on top of it to bring to the public ear and eye some basic issues like the right of people to sleep at night without being harassed, even if they're poor, which the Santa Cruz City law does not allow for most homeless people because of their go-to-sleep, go-to-jail laws. These men face mandated community service that they will refuse to do, which means they may be facing jail on Thursday morning, I believe, before Judge, I believe it's Barton, at 8:30 in the morning. We got an incoming call here.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Yeah, this is Reverend Flory, and it's Friday, actually, the 29th of September.
I'm pleased that you made that correction, Robert.
8:30 in the morning, and I am scheduled to appear, actually, in Judge Addick's court and in Judge Barton's court, and Wanton Dave is scheduled to appear in Judge Addick's court, Judge Barton's court, and also Commissioner Salazar's court at 8:30 in the morning on
Friday.
Friday.
And you're covering the courtrooms. You're going everywhere, all over the courts. Has Wanton Dave been spotted in the downtown area?
Not that I know of.
And
I hope he's coming back.
He
lost his case in San Jose at the appellate court level.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not going to be really a day of glory or anything here on the 29th.
So what you're going to do is you're going to face a judge who wants to put you in jail for fundamentally violating the anti-homeless downtown ordinances and other similar ordinances.
Right. We violated various anti-homeless infraction ordinances. The ordinance that makes it illegal to sleep at night being the primary ordinance, camping law, anti-sleeping law, and also a couple of others like sitting on the sidewalk, which before sitting there was conduct, and they used to ticket us under conduct.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were sitting, because they didn't have the sitting ordinance yet, and then also placing an object on the sidewalk after dark.
Mm-hmm.
So these are all infractions. We believe infraction law is unconstitutional, and according to the penal code, you can't be thrown in jail for even if you're convicted of an infraction. And so we explained to the judge that even though we had been fined, we were unable to pay the fine in these manners.
Confiscate our property, but don't put us in jail because that's
And if you want to collect that monetary fine, go ahead and sue us. You know, the same way you collect any other money judgment is how the appropriate remedy for collecting this fine. So he ordered us to, Judge Barton in this case, has ordered us to perform community service hours. And Wanton Dave took this to the 4th District Court of Appeals in San Jose and said the court does not have the authority to order a person to perform community service hours. So if a person requests community service hours, the court can grant that request, but the court does not have the authority to order community service hours. And
did the judges comment on the substance of his claim?
And I don't. All I saw on this case was a very brief article in the San Jose Mercury News. Or no, it was in the Sentinel. There was one in the Sentinel saying Wanton Dave has lost his case in San Jose, and that article contained almost no information whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know exactly what the judges decided, except that they've decided that a court can order you to perform community service hours in lieu of an unpaid infraction fine.
Well, might it be important to find out what the text of that decision was prior to your appearance on Friday in Judges Addick's, Barton, and Salazar's courts?
It might be.
Hmm. Well, if you do, I'd be very curious to hear about it, and I would, of course, pass on the word during the show. While you're going to jail, I, of course, will be having a great fiesta on the radio.
Well, right, this is what happens next, is since we have failed to comply with this court order, which has been determined to be a lawful court order, this being the key word, lawful, failure to comply with a lawful court order is contempt of court, and you actually can be thrown in jail for contempt of court, up to 5 days per count.
Do you anticipate this happening, or will you get a hearing and an attorney?
Well, actually, even in a contempt proceeding, you cannot be thrown in jail unless there's a thing called due process, where you can't be accused of a crime, or you can't be convicted.
Isn't that one of
those
liberal things that Newt Gingrich is trying to get rid of?
Yeah, it comes straight out of the Declaration of Independence, the Sixth Amendment, actually, of the
coddling criminals.
Again,
yeah.
Says that you have a right to trial by jury and you have a right to counsel. Now, in an infraction case, you don't have these things. You don't have an attorney, and you don't have a jury.
Infraction, for those who are listening, is the lowest kind of offense, meaning the most trivial and most minor offense, right?
And so as kind of a trade-off to this, the penal code says, well, you can't be thrown in jail if you're found guilty of an infraction offense. No, we didn't give you an attorney. We didn't give you a jury, but We won't throw you in jail. We'll just fine you.
So if you were, if you're being tried on a felony or misdemeanor, more serious charges, you would have a right to an attorney. You would have a right to a jury trial, and you would also take the risk of being thrown in jail.
That's correct.
But on these infraction charges, like sleeping outside or
right. So these ordinances are used to harass people.
Because they cannot defend themselves with attorneys, because they can't really get a full jury trial. In fact, they get a judge sympathetic to the authority of the state or the authority of the city, finds them guilty, and then
a lot of people don't know. Like, I've been spouting on and on about contempt and orders and lawful order of the court, and people don't know this stuff, and so they go to court and they don't have an attorney to tell them any of this stuff, and so a lot of people are getting screwed over by the system.
Actually, a man came up to me. Yeah. I'm sorry. Did you want to?
What Wanton David and I were doing was, launching a legal assault on the entire concept of infractions. And
has that assault been stopped?
Well, yeah.
I mean, do you think you are now essentially in a position of trying to, save the equipment, stop the damage, minimize the damage that's been done?
No, the state of California is still enforcing infraction laws. Right, all the cities in the state of California are enforcing infraction laws right and left. We haven't accomplished anything.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, what I'm saying is,
the more people hear about what we've done and try to do it themselves,
the better.
And resist being prosecuted under infraction laws.
Well, I was actually approached by a man on the street 3 or 4 days ago who wanted information on how to challenge the sleeping ban locally, and that question continues to come up. Hmm. Do you have any suggestions for those who want to fight their sleeping ban tickets in court?
Well, call up Robert Norse at 423-HUFF and ask for one of his flyers on this subject.
I see. So
I personally helped Robert Norse write a couple of flyers on how to
fight your ticket?
How to fight your ticket, etc.
Yes. Well, I mean, do you have any offhand comments other than that, or?
Well, disqualify referee Mulligan is the first thing that I would do, because he's in the basement of the courthouse and he says, guilty, when can you pay the fine, no matter what you do? And then take it to trial and, plead not guilty and go through trial, and then when sentencing comes up, explain to the judge that you are unable to pay the fine. And you do not wish to accept community service hours in lieu of that fine, and that if the court wishes to collect the fine, they can sue you, and they can't throw you in jail because you haven't had an attorney. And that's Argersinger versus Hamlin, United States, Argersinger versus Hamlin in the United States Supreme Court in 1972. No person could be thrown in jail unless they've been represented by an attorney at their trial.
And you will be appearing to defend yourself, I presume, without an attorney.
September 29th, I will be appearing without an attorney and with a copy of Argersinger versus Hamlin, so that when the judge tries to throw me in jail, I will say I have not been represented by an attorney at any stage in this proceedings, and I have not made a knowing, intelligent waiver of my right to be represented by an attorney. So it would be unlawful for this court to throw me in jail. And I'll try to say all that as politely as I can.
And you also have your toothbrush packed to go to jail that night?
Well, they'd take it away from me even if I did have it on me.
Good point, yes. Well,
I just wanted to call you and let you know that it's actually September 29th.
One last question on a different subject. Again, I guess I will remind everybody, 8:30, September 29th, that's Friday, Robert Flory in court for essentially homeless
and
crimes.
Hopefully Wanton Dave, too.
And perhaps Wanton Dave Jacobs, who hasn't been seen around here for several months, the emperor of the activists in this respect. And the issues, again, are not murder, rape, robbery, theft, or even spitting on the sidewalk. The issues are sleeping and demonstrating. I encourage people who are listening to this show to consider coming on down to the court. And how will they be able to tell which court to go into? You just run around from one court to the other looking for you, or how will that be done?
It's going to be in three courts. I'm only in two courts, Barton and Attic, and then
Barton and Attic.
Wanton is in three courts.
So Barton and Attic are right next to each other. That's Departments 2 and 3, I believe?
Right. So, if Wanton's not there, I'll go into one of the other courts and give a note to the bailiff saying I'm in the other court,
mm-hmm.
saying give this note to the judge, I'm present, but I'm in the other court.
Are you going to inform the media about any of this?
No.
So you don't think it's really that much of a public issue, or you're discouraged with the past media response?
Yeah, I don't really know what I'm doing.
I see. You've been bewildered by your lack of sleep, but I understand now at least you've been able to beat the sleeping band because you have a place indoors sometimes.
Sometimes.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that was Red Top Robert Flory talking about his upcoming case this Friday, where essentially for victimless homeless crimes and political crimes, Flory faces contempt of court charges by Judge Barton. He's actually he's going to be told to do community service, that is to say, go pay $25 to Community Options, or whatever they call themselves these days, and take some kind of slave work somewhere. And he says no, he doesn't feel that that's appropriate, he doesn't feel that's legal, he doesn't feel that's constitutional. He's going to fight that. Looks like another incoming call.
Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Yeah, I want to talk about what you're talking about.
Yeah, go ahead, big guy.
What are you talking about?
Well, you tell me.
About the jails and for the guy that the guy you were talking to.
Well,
about the courts, about what they do to people.
I think you're courting disaster here. You know, we do appreciate the many accents that you call in on, because you have a.
This is an accident.
Yes. Well, it doesn't seem accidental to me, I've got to tell you.
It's accidental, actually.
You've been drinking again?
No, the Asians said that we were named Occidental because by accident we had operations which kind of changed the configuration.
You have 7 seconds left to make your point.
Is this huffing or puffing? I'll blow your house down.
All right. Bye-bye.
It's always good to have a little comic relief, but sometimes I encourage potential comics to prepare their material more carefully. So, you are listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz. This is Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides. We have some more interviews from the street, and then we're going to look at a few local articles. We hope to have a needle exchange interview in our next show. There's recently been a report on needle exchange nationwide indicating that it's a good thing. I'm going to try to find that article and give you some of the high points of that, and also get some actual specifics from the local needle exchange program. Needle exchange, as you know, is illegal, and it is a program by which dirty hypodermic needles are illegally exchanged for clean ones to prevent the spread of fatal and transmissible diseases, AIDS in the main, as well as other diseases. So let's hear a little bit more of what's going on down on the mall. I want to apologize for the somewhat fragmented tape that I gave you before. I'm hoping that I can get a better segment this time. Let's see how it goes.
Give me your first name.
Give me.
We'll call you. We'll call you Rangy. Rangy, what happened here?
Well, basically, there's this man, older gentleman, and he was in the Alcoholic Lounge, and he was drinking quite a bit of alcohol, and there's this woman that was out in front, not on the premises of the property of Acapulco, just asking for spare change.
And where was this again?
Acapulco.
Acapulco, gotcha, across the street.
And he was getting irritated with her asking for spare change, and so he started calling her abusive names, like, fuck you, bitch.
Right.
And then he decided to get up, and then he started, you know, pointing at her,
right,
and threatened like he was going to beat her ass, basically.
Right.
And then I saw that, and I went over from across the street, and I was at the bookstore there, and a whole bunch of other people jumped in, and then he started taking his aggressions out on everybody else that was, you know, intervening on her behalf, and he was about to punch me, and so he decided to poke at some other guy, and that guy just hit him really hard, knocked him down.
So, but it was a case of self-defense, in your opinion?
In a lot of ways, yeah, because, first strike, anything after first strike is self-defense. You know, if somebody hits you first, you have the right to defend yourself.
And was the man hit more than once, or was he one
knocked? Just hit once, knocked him to the ground.
This happened in front of the
Apopoco restaurant, right.
Okay. And then we just observed this man come up here with a police officer looking for the man who hit him.
Yeah, that man's long gone.
I see. Well, Rangy, thank you for your perspective on this.
I know.
All right. Do you mind if we play this on the radio?
No. No problem.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Crossroads Chris Brazda.
Yeah, hi.
The Serbian advocate among a nation of sheep.
90,000 new Serbian refugees after a quarter million Serbian refugees left, which the entire population of the Kurdina, Croatian.
We weren't cutting off Crossroads Chris there, although the subject is not really directly pertinent to my subject, although there's certainly homelessness and civil rights violations involved in Serbia. Let's listen to a little more of Chris.
About 6:30 in the evening, we're talking about in Pacific at the Monday Food Not Bombs meal, actually. The Food Not Bombs now seems to be serving with increasing frequency down here on the mall. In fact, Earth Hugger John Earth has apparently vowed to continue serving food daily as long as that's possible. And indeed, Food Not Bombs has served, well, it served last Thursday evening, and it's again served today, as well as serving on a weekend at Reuven Josephine. But aside from that, we have with us the notorious internet fiend, the man who speaks on behalf of the Serbs, Crossroads Chris Brazda.
Since August 1st of this year, there have been 130,000 Serbian refugees created by U.S. bombing in conjunction and support of the Croatian cleansing of Serbia.